This is WILL AM 580 and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
We're talking today with Brian Souder from Faith in Place here in Central Illinois. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you.
And Faith in Place deals with issues of ecology and the economy and caring for the world. And considers that a very important part of social justice. How long have you been working with this organization?
Yeah, I've been working with Faith in Place since this January when they hired me to do their outreach in Central Illinois. And specifically, that outreach is focused on religious congregations and working with them on these matters.
And that's religious congregations of any faith?
That is correct.
So you've worked with mosques and temples and Christian churches and...
Yeah, currently we are doing outreach in Central Illinois. I've made initial contact with over 30 congregations to this point, including the mosque in town, the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center, and also numerous Christian churches.
Mm-hmm. And this organization began how long ago and where?
Yeah, Faith in Place started 11 years ago in the Chicagoland area. The Reverend Dr. Claire Butterfield was part of the founding movement of Faith in Place then. And in the Chicagoland area, Faith in Place has been working for the past 11 years with over 600 congregations, helping them to steward the earth and giving them tools to do that. And it was this January when they expanded to Central Illinois through their hiring of me.
And Claire Butterfield had some connections here in Champaign-Urbana, where WILL is. She went to law school here, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, yeah. And so many people here locally know and respect her and have heard about her work in Chicago. So it's great to have you here in Central Illinois. How wide of an area are you willing or able to go?
Yeah, that's a great question. Initially, I'm focusing on congregations in Champaign County because that's where a lot of energy is currently in this movement. And hopefully, eventually, I'll expand to Springfield and to Peoria and elsewhere, Bloomington, Normal. I do currently, during the General Assembly, travel once a week to Springfield to do public advocacy work for Faith in Place. So I have a little contact there as of now, but eventually hope to expand the office.
So you're a registered lobbyist as well.
Yeah, we work closely with Sierra Club and Environment Illinois and Environmental Law and Policy Center and help them work on the issues they're working on at the General Assembly. And bring a perspective of faith leaders to Springfield to speak to our representatives.
Now, how is Faith in Place funded?
Yeah, currently, thanks to the Lumpkin Foundation is how the office here in Central Illinois was started. And we're also funded through individual donations and congregational donations, as well as a number of other grants.
Now, we talked about your being concentrating in Champaign County, hoping to expand a little bit in Illinois. Are you bound by the state lines, or could you cross into Indiana if there's interest?
Sure, that's a great question. I think Faith in Place is very much bound by Illinois. We're a part of a larger national organization called Interfaith Power and Light, and we represent their Illinois affiliate.
I see. And Interfaith Power and Light does have affiliates elsewhere throughout the country.
Yeah, I believe they have, I don't know the exact number, but it's in the 30s, 30 different states participate. And they focus specifically on climate change and doing things with congregations to reduce energy as well as doing federal policy advocacy.
Okay. Let me give the phone numbers for callers who'd like to join the conversation and ask questions along with me of our guest today, Brian Souder. His last name is spelled S-A-U-D-E-R, and Brian is spelled B-R-I-A-N. There are a couple ways Brian can be spelled, so this is Brian Souder. If you're calling from Champaign-Urbana, the number is 333-9455. If it's a long-distance call, perhaps you're even listening on the Internet, do call us toll-free 1-800-222-9455. Brian, when this opportunity came to you, why were you interested in working for an organization like Faith in Place that dealt with deals with ecology?
Sure. I've had a long time had an interest in religion and ecology and its intersection. I did my undergraduate degree at the University of Illinois here in environmental sciences, and coming from a religious background, was always interested in connecting the things I was learning in my schoolwork about the various issues of ecology around the world and how to connect that to my faith.
What is your own personal religious
Yeah, I come from an Anabaptist religious background, grew up in the Apostolic Christian Church, and currently I attend the First Mennonite Church in Champaign.
And for people who might not know what Anabaptist means?
Sure. Anabaptism comes out of the Radical Reformation and is marked by distinctions of adult baptism, as well as separation of church and state, and also Christian pacifism. Often you'll hear the term peace church associated with the Anabaptist movement.
And you have an additional theological degree after an undergraduate degree at the University of Illinois. Tell us about that.
Yeah, after I graduated the University of Illinois studying the environmental science aspect, I wanted to spend some time in this community thinking through religious ethics and how that relates to some of this environmental science. So I went to Urbana Theological Seminary, which is a wonderful small seminary here in town, and was able to work there under the guidance of Dr. Todd Daly, who has a PhD in ethics from Edinburgh, and was able to help sort out this field of religion and ecology, specifically in my case, Christian environmental theology.
How long a program was it, that master's degree?
Yeah, it's a two-year program, and which I did in 3 years while working full-time.
I see. So it's possible to do that?
Yes, yeah.
If you live close.
If you live close, exactly.
Did you have to write a thesis as part of that two-year program?
No, it's completely coursework-based, and then you could tailor your coursework to personal interests, like my interest of environmental theology.
So tell us some of the things that Faith in Place actually does with a congregation that contacts you and says, give us some ideas.
Yeah. When I work with the congregation, the first thing I'll try to do is help them set up green teams within their congregations. And a green team is just simply people that have this similar interest of connecting their faith to action in this ecology realm. And as that green team develops, I'll help them make those connections from their particular faith background to concerns for ecological responsibility. And then as they begin to grow, I will work with them to focus either on energy conservation within the church, water conservation, understanding sustainable agriculture issues and food economics and food disparity issues, as well as encouraging them to get involved on the public advocacy level.
So this is an educational thing you do. You have information of, and you've seen this work with other congregations, how they can conserve energy, conserve water in their buildings, and get involved in these issues in terms of themselves perhaps affecting legislation. But give me some practical ideas of what actually happens.
Sure. Well, if a congregation, for example, wants to focus on energy conservation, one thing I'll direct them to resources that we have, which include pamphlets that are titled 12 Steps to Reduce Energy at Your House of Worship. Also, we work a lot with coolcongregations.com, which provides a calculator for calculating your congregation's carbon footprint and taking very practical steps to reducing your energy consumption. So whether that's as simple as changing a light bulb to, we've had congregations in the Chicagoland area put in solar thermal, wind turbines as well to generate energy and things like that. So we're working kind of on all levels depending on the building budget for the congregation and try to help them work with that and give them resources by pointing them to contractors as well. And that's in the energy. If the green team within the congregation wants to work on energy conservation, we have similar resources for water conservation, both conserving water indoors and outdoors, outdoors through rain barrels, rain gardens, indoors through aerators and things like that, as well as one of my favorite things, and this is something I've worked on in this community a little bit, is working on thinking through our responsibility and ecological responsibility to our food. And the way that's taken shape is by encouraging congregations to start community gardens. And one of the early success stories in a project we're working on this spring is a garden with both the mosque in town and the First Mennonite Church where I go. And we're calling it Muslims and Mennonites Planting Peace One Seed at a Time. And we have this garden right next to the Mennonite, right next to the mosque and the Mennonite Church. And this is just a vehicle that we use to not only grow produce, fruits and vegetables, and to give those to different places in town, but also to provide education on where our food comes from, to think about our responsibility ethically when we eat food, and the local foods movement is a big concern that we have, as well as the miles that our food travels and things like that. So that's one practical thing.
On whose land is this community garden that both the mosque and the Mennonites are working
on? Yeah, it's on a vacant lot right next to the Mennonite Church, which is owned by the Mennonite Church, right on Lincoln and Springfield.
So is there something growing there right now?
There is a garden that is there right now. It's very small. Next Sunday, we're going to have a youth project from youth from the mosque and youth from the Mennonite Church. We're going to expand the garden a little bit, and we're also working with the city right now to put up a 4-foot by 4-foot sign that will kind of explain what this garden is. And so if you drive by right now, you'll see the strawberries are growing and the raspberry bushes are growing, and we're yet to going to plant the tomato plants and different things like that coming up this
spring. Will you have sweet corn?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not sure we know right now what we're all going to actually have. I think when we have our official planting day marked out as May 22nd, and we're all going to just bring different seeds that we have and starts that we've all started in our windowsills as well and plan from there. So we're not quite sure what's all going to go into the garden.
Now, the Muslims at the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center right now are particularly concerned about the, I don't know what to call it, vandalism, I guess, around campus where one of the student organizations that's made up of free thinkers and atheists and agnostics have been putting signs with the name Muhammad and a stick figure of the prophet, peace be upon him, around campus and even at the mosque. Have the Mennonites responded in any way to that action that's so very offensive to Muslims?
Sure. I don't know some of the specifics. Pastor Janet at the Mennonite Church, I think, would have a much better understanding of what's going on there. The only involvement I've had is on the Peace Garden project and with the sign we've been creating in that regards. I know I gave a presentation at the mosque, and one of the concerns they had for reducing their energy consumption was they need to keep lights on at night because of the vandalism.
For safety.
For safety. And so they wanted to, we explored some options for how to make that consume less energy, even though they had to leave lights on.
Because outdoor lighting can be very expensive and can
Correct.
Sort of, you know, create light pollution in the sky. So it's a difficult issue when churches and religious organizations like the mosque are trying to make it safe around their place where people can come there to pray, worship, whatever, fellowship, have a meal. But you don't want people to feel like they're walking through the dark, and if they're particularly feel like they're targets of people who don't like them.
Sure.
You want it safe, and yet how do you do that responsibly in terms of ecology?
Correct. And that actually brings up a good point. Faith in Place has some grant money. This year we're hosting an architecture competition, and this is there's going to be 3 different awards for any sort of architects that would like to participate. And this is one award for $5,000 will go out to the best multi-use building design. Another is for a best multi-congregational building design, and another award of $5,000 will go out to the best standalone religious building. So this architecture competition is one way we're trying to explore alternative means to not only having our religious congregations be more safe and functional, but also more ecologically sound as well.
Now, if people want to learn more about that architecture competition, do you have a website?
Yeah, they can go to our website at faithinplace.org, and we have an announcement there. And the applications for that competition will be due this coming August, so there is a little time to prepare for that and to think through, if you are an architect, how you want to approach that.
Faithinplace.org is the website, and that's for buildings in Illinois at this point?
That is correct.
Okay. And three different competitions.
Yep.
Again, if you have a question or comment, this is a live program on Sunday evenings here on WILL AM. Do give us a call, 333-9455, if you're in the Champaign-Urbana local area. If it's a long-distance call, 1-800-222-9455 to speak with our guest, Brian Sauder, S-A-U-D-E-R, from Faith in Place here in central Illinois. This program is heard in Chicago, and Claire Butterfield can be contacted in the Chicago area. She's the executive director and one of the co-founders of Faith in Place. You said 11 years ago.
11 years ago, yeah.
Right. So, and I guess, and you mentioned the Interfaith Power and Light that people could go to if they're listening in Indiana or online and in other
sure.
parts of the country.
Sure.
Okay. The Lumpkin Foundation, I don't know about that. How did they come to fund this opening of the branch here in central Illinois?
Sure. Well, they provide a number of grants in the Champaign-Urbana area, and they have a focus on environmental responsibility and also have a focus on bringing people together to work together, breaking down some of those typical walls that are in between various people and a lot by breaking down those walls, allowing for people to work together for good. And they were gracious enough to accept our grant proposal and had a wonderful Bruce Karmazine was the lawyer that we worked with from the Lumpkin Foundation, a wonderful person, and is very active himself in the local foods movement and different things that also parallel the interests of Faith in Place.
The Lumpkin Foundation is a local community foundation?
Yeah, there? It's just down, the name of the town that it's in escapes me, which is embarrassing, but it's just down 57. I want to say in south on 57 in Mattoon. Does that sound right?
Could be.
But I believe that's where they're at. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Talking about I-57, I've been out of commission for a couple months because of a knee replacement surgery, but this last weekend, my wife and I were driving up I-57 north, and we came to a small town which, at least before 2 months ago, I don't ever remember seeing a large wind generator.
Sure.
Do you know about that?
I do know a little bit about that. One thing that we've worked on very, very hard in Springfield and public policy is to promote wind farms. And in 2009, over 1,000 jobs were created in Illinois because of wind farms, as well as a reduction of our carbon emissions and things like that. So we think they're a good thing and hope they will continue.
We have a call on line number one from Urbana. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith with our guest, Brian Sauder. Go ahead.
Yes. Are you aware? This isn't really a new thing. I mean, 15, 20 years ago in Chicago, there was Inspired Partnerships, and they employed an architect and a mechanical engineer and electrical engineer to do the same thing with churches in the Chicago metropolitan area, with also a connection to Philadelphia and Detroit. And
Brian, do you know about Inspired Partnerships?
I'm not aware, and I'll have to look into that. And I suspect Claire is aware of that.
Well, I was a board member and a member of the advisory board up there, too.
But are you just traveling in Urbana, or do you
live
here?
No, I live here now.
You live here now?
Right. Yes.
Great. Well, thank you for the information. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I'll follow up on that.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And we have another call from Eureka, Illinois. On line number four, yes, you're on the air with Brian Sauder from Faith in Place.
Yes, you were mentioning you have a large spectrum of churches that you work with. I was wondering, there seems to have been more involvement by evangelical churches in the last number of years claiming greater interest in the environment. Are you finding that to be a fact? And what groups or along the political spectrum do you find more ecologically involved in your organization?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the answer to your first question is yes, the evangelical church has become more involved in this issue and becoming environmentally responsible. A few churches that I've worked here in Champaign-Urbana, the Vineyard Church on Lincoln Street has taken up some of these issues and he's even developed an organization there called Earthworks, which has done some tremendous things both within their building and they're also doing a community garden project this spring. The University Baptist Church in on campus is also beginning to think through these issues and work with us. And so I have seen some momentum with the evangelical church. And the answer to your question there is yes. As far as your second question was involving politics, can you ask?
Do you find churches of do you find more involvement of churches that are more politically liberal and maybe tend more toward more social action or what?
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean, and the answer to that from my perspective is yes, churches that are more active in social justice and probably politically more liberal definitely have more energy in this area at this point. And that's something that I talk a lot about in my work is that we have our religious congregations and our four walls, and yet we have our common land as well. And so there is some movement in the more conservative churches, like some of the evangelical churches, and moving towards this area as well. And it's something I'm working on. But initially, yes, there is more energy among more socially oriented churches at this point.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Brian, when I heard you speak at the ribbon cutting for your office here in Champaign-Urbana just a couple weeks ago, you talked about some of the factors that make this kind of work so necessary. Do you want to say something about that?
Yeah, and all of the areas that we work, whether that's energy conservation, water conservation, sustainable agriculture, we have some bleak facts that are facing us and things that we need to work together on and tackle. As far as energy conservation, climate change is something that's bearing down on us. And initially, when I was an undergrad studying this issue and being influenced by wonderful people like Donald Wobbles and other climatologists, the realization that carbon emissions will have the most disastrous effects on the impoverished in the world because of their living on coastlines and rising sea levels and things like that really motivated me at first and with this issue of understanding this issue and its importance and the understanding of curbing our carbon emissions. And related to that, climate change will have effect on our agriculture as well. And currently in Illinois, we obviously are a very agricultural-based economy and have some concerns there as well.
I want to get back to that, but we do have another caller from Kankakee. Yes, on line number one. Go right ahead.
Hi. I was just wondering if your guest was familiar with a thing called PACE financing, which stands for Property Assessed Clean Energy. I think it started in California and it sort of seems to be sweeping the nation. It's a financing mechanism for individual property owners to get over the hump of installing solar or geothermal or perhaps other forms of like weatherization. And it seems, what I've read about it, it seems pretty exciting. It seems like a good opportunity. I don't know that it would work for churches. I think the way the mechanism works is that the initial cost of installation is borne by the financing entity, and then the person is assessed through their property tax over like a 15 to 20 year period.
To answer your question, I am very familiar with PACE legislation, and Senator Frerichs, our own senator here from Champaign, has done tremendous work in Springfield regarding PACE legislation. We did have some setbacks in that regard this General Assembly, but the general foundations for moving forward in that are there. What will need to be required is a lot of collaboration on a community level to make this possible by setting up the lending institutions and whatnot. And one thing in regards to whether it'll work for churches or not, my understanding is that yet remains to be determined, but it is contingent, like you said, on property taxes. But one thing, is Faith in Place's vision that not only will we work for a cultural shift towards ecological responsibility within a congregation, but that would also expand to individual homeowners' practices as well. And PACE legislation would be a wonderful tool to be used there to get rid of some of those barriers. great analogy I've heard is that if I had to pay, you know, the upfront cost for my cell phone for the next 10 years and had to pay, I don't know what the numbers are, $20,000, $25,000, as opposed to paying month by month a $50 sure. charge, I would never buy a cell phone. And that's one of the big barriers that PACE legislation addresses with putting in solar panels and wind turbines and things like that. So we at Faith in Place think PACE is a wonderful legislative tool to help encourage sustainable energy use. There's still some logistics to be worked out, though, and we are working on that as well.
Okay, sounds like we need to further our advocacy for that.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's a great idea.
It is.
Okay.
Thank you for the call. Now, that was PACE, PACE?
Yeah.
And is that an acronym?
That is an acronym, and it's been called PACE for so long, I don't even remember what it stands for.
Okay. But well, thank you very much for the call. A listener, appreciate that. Let me give the numbers again. 333-9455 is the number in Champaign-Urbana. If it's a long-distance call, punch in 1-800-222-9455 to be on the air with our guest, Brian Souder, from the Faith in Place organization here in central Illinois. And it's also very active in Chicago with Reverend Claire Butterfield, who is one of the co-founders of the organization. If you've missed part of this program, or indeed any other programs here on Keeping the Faith or other locally produced programs here at WILL, you may go to our website at your convenience, will.illinois.edu. Go to AM when you're given the option of AM, FM, or TV. And at AM, you can go to Keeping the Faith and hear this program. It'll be archived within about a week, and all previous programs are there back, 5 years or so. So it's a great archive. Make use of it. If you remember the name of an organization or a guest, you can put that in the search engine and find it very quickly, or simply scroll down through the previous programs. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for Keeping the Faith, although Don Nolan is a very able host as well, who helps out when I'm traveling or unable to be here. Don is a recently retired professor of philosophy and religion at Parkland College and has been helping out on this program for a number of years. Coming up next week here on Keeping the Faith is the Soul Miners Children's Theater Company of Champaign-Urbana. We'll be learning about that interfaith group from Helen Katz and Heidi Baker. On May 23rd, we'll be doing an archive program with Dr. Jack Good, author of Emotions and Values, exploring the source of some of the strengths of Jesus. That was a program, popular program here last year, so we're replaying that on May 23rd. Leah Roberts-Mosser from the Community United Church of Christ in Champaign will be our guest on May 30, talking about theological integrity. And May 6, we have a very special guest, an author, Lucia Perillo. Her most recent book was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize this year. It's a fascinating book of poetry called Inseminating the Elephant. That'll be May 6. We'll be talking with her by phone. And the storyteller, Dan Keating, will be our guest on May 13. So we'll be talking about various issues of values and ethics, as well as spirituality and religion in the weeks ahead here on Keeping the Faith. The University YMCA has been a longtime supporter of Keeping the Faith and WILL, and they're having their big annual Dump and Run collection this spring. It starts tomorrow, May 10. From 9 to 4 at the Stock Pavilion at the University at 1402 West Pennsylvania Avenue, Urbana. So if you have household items, furniture, things that are still useful to someone else that are filling up your attic or basement or garage and that you want to donate, you may donate and take a charitable deduction if you choose. And these are things which will be well used by students and others next year when the Y has their sale in the fall, when new students arrive with apartments to furnish and kitchens to set up and all that sort of thing. They'll be taking things at the Stock Pavilion this year because the Y is starting some renovations of its wonderful building. So don't bring things to the University Y, but instead bring them to the Stock Pavilion where the sale usually is on Pennsylvania Avenue, just east of Memorial Stadium. Again, it starts Monday, 9 to 4, and goes Monday through Saturday this week, and then from the 17th to the 21st, and then from the 24th to the 28th, all from 9 to 4. There are late collections on Thursdays, May 13, 20, and 27, all the way till 7 p.m. If you have questions about that, do call University YMCA at 217-337-1500. There are a few items they don't take for this big garage sale. They won't take individual computer monitors or holiday decorations or sleeper sofas or tires or sinks or large appliances or large exercise equipment or mattresses. Those are things they don't take. But they take all sorts of things, books, CDs, records, clothing, odds and ends, kitchen items, furniture. They've accepted automobiles, pickup trucks, motorcycles, boats, all kinds of things. So if you'd like to donate it to the University Y, starting tomorrow for several weeks during Monday through Friday, you can do that. Again, the phone number, if you have questions, 337-1500. Well, let's get back to our guest, Brian Sauder, S-A-U-D-E-R. Brian is a graduate of the University of Illinois and of Urbana Seminary. He's a recent hire, just since January, of Faith in Place. He's the Central Illinois Congregational Outreach and Policy Coordinator. And Faith in Place recently opened a new office. Tell us about your new office.
Yeah, the University Y actually has extended discounted office space for me to set up my office right on campus. And the director there, Mike Doyle, has just been wonderful and opening his arms to Faith in Place's arrival here in Central Illinois and working with us. And we have very visions that complement each other in many different ways. So I've been very thankful about having space right at the University Y and room 2 right on the campus at the University of Illinois.
Students for Environmental Concerns was started by the University Y back now, 40 years ago,
sure,
or something, so maybe 50. So the Y has sponsored concern for the environment among students and others for many decades, and so Faith in Place certainly fits in very well. So if people want to call you, how do they do that?
Yeah, they can reach me most anytime at 217-649-1898. This is both my work phone, which is also my cell phone. And if anybody wants to start a green team in their congregation, of course, I would love to begin working with them and building those relationships and hopefully doing some neat things with those congregations to help them steward the earth.
Let me repeat your phone number. That's 217-649-1898. And you said they can contact you also by email, Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at faithinplace.org.
That is correct.
And again, information is available at the website, faithinplace.org, for both here and Chicago, right?
That is correct, yeah.
Okay, all kinds of information. And to just weigh people down with phone numbers, if you'd like to ask Brian a question right now, feel free on the air, 333-9455. Don't be shy. Give us a call here in Champaign-Urbana. If it's a local call at that number, 333-WILL. If it's a long-distance call, 1-800-222-9455. Tell us about some of the most fun responses you've had so far in your how many weeks now have you actually been out doing, working with these 30 congregations?
Since January, so okay, whatever that calculates out to be.
Okay, 3 or 4 months.
Sure. I've met wonderful, wonderful people. Probably the greatest joy is because of the Muslim and Mennonite Peace Garden, planting peace one seed at a time, has been a real joy for me to work with both Mennonites and Muslims on issues of sustainable agriculture and doing education on the local foods movement and its value for both the economy and the environment and health right here in Illinois. So that has been the greatest joy. But beyond that, Steve, I have a great job. I get to meet wonderful people at different congregations and talk with them and brainstorm. And many of the congregations I've made outreach to at this point are still in that brainstorming stage of exploring ways they can start to build their own green team and start to build some momentum towards tackling a project. And I always encourage congregations as I'm working with them to pick a small project to start out with, accomplish it, celebrate it, build some momentum and continue to take on projects. And who knows, hopefully in a few years, you know, they could take on a big energy conservation project or something that will save both a lot of money and be a better steward of the earth.
I know that the local Hindu congregation here in Champaign-Urbana is planning a new temple on North Mattis Avenue, and they're in the planning stages of that. They have an architect firm that's been hired to develop their new temple, which will be very much multi-use and available for the community as well. And they have a total of 40 acres. So they have, as you may know, Hindus traditionally love to have green around them and celebrate nature and
yeah.
have places where people can really meditate and contemplate the beauties of the natural world. So perhaps their architect will enter your competition.
Yeah,
would you say a couple words about that again for people who may have tuned in later?
Sure. Faith in Place is hosting an architecture competition this summer, and applications will be due in August. This is three different awards will go to three different applications. Each reward will be $5,000 each. One award will go to the best multi-use building design. Another award will go to the best multi-congregational building design. This will be a design that houses two different religious congregations. It could be from the same religious background or a different religious background, but a design that makes that both functional and ecologically responsible. And also a third award will go to the best standalone religious building design. And each of those will be rewards of $5,000 each, and applications can be downloaded from our website, faithinplace.org. And again, those applications will be due and coming in August. And something that we're very excited about as continually we've run up to this problem in working with congregations that our buildings that we are in just simply weren't designed with ecological responsibility in mind, simply because most of them were designed in the 40s and 50s and 60s and when that wasn't a prevalent concern for how that works. And so as anybody that's probably working with their operational budget within their congregation knows, the heating and cooling of those types of buildings can be quite expensive. And so we're looking for exploring ways to continue to, you know, make progress in that area.
And worship space is particularly a concern if it's only used occasionally, like only
sure.
once a week
sure.
or a few times a week. If it's sitting vacant yet still has to be heated, perhaps cooled, there's a major expense. And why not make it multifunctional
sure.
and make things more useful so that more larger groups in the community can make use of it, musical groups, art groups, community groups. But it does take forethought and planning to make things
most
flexible
definitely.
And movable. And it can be done, and there's some great examples around
sure.
the world
sure.
where that has been done. And as you say, multi-congregational use to be planned in advance. Why not have a group that worships on Friday use the same
right.
building that someone else worships on Saturday and someone else worships on Sunday?
Right. And preparing for something like that takes a lot of thought. And also, because you have different styles of worship within one building, the design will need to reflect accommodations for those different styles and the different concerns. As most congregations, and this is something Faith in Place we're very interested in helping congregations think about, is how their worship extends to their building, and not only their worship extending into their ethical life and deeds and thought and loving their neighbor, but also extending to how they think about the place where they worship and how, you know, the building that produces very much different resources, it consumes and produces resources, how that also is ethically responsible and connection to their worship practice. So that's something that we're excited about and excited to see what sort of different designs we get submitted through the architecture competition. And on the board, there will be both the Reverend Dr. Claire Butterfield, who's the executive director of Faith in Place, but also a team of architects from different companies that will be looking at those designs.
There are a couple interesting examples in the central Illinois area. For example, Sinai Temple has a worship space that's designed for small groups to feel comfortable in, but also with some movable walls to make it very comfortable when large groups are there, for example, for the High Holy Days. And the other space can be used for dinners and community events at any time, sort of separating out the bima and the worship space where the ark is and so on. Millikan University has a chapel that's an interfaith chapel that has a very flexible space with movable seating, so it can be set up in the round. It can be set up facing one direction or another. It has symbols for various religions that can be stored in one part of the building and then brought out.
Oh, wow.
So it can be used for Protestants, Catholics, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, very nicely designed, multifunctional worship space. And, of course, a college or university, if they're going to provide a place for people to practice their faith, need to be open to all folks. But Millikan was very creative in designing their chapel. I can't remember the name of the architect, but it's a quite moving space. Maybe there's a listener in Decatur who would call and tell us that if they know. Again, the numbers, if you'd like to answer that question or ask a question, 333-9455 in Champaign-Urbana area. If it's a local call, long distance, 1-800-222-9455 is a toll-free call for our guest, Brian Souder from Faith in Place. Brian, we were talking earlier before the break about issues of agriculture.
Sure.
And this is such an agricultural area, and you've talked about local foods. How do you ethically balance those two, the needs of farmers to make a living and yet the desire to for people to be concerned with the environment?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's part of the education that we'll do as we work with churches on community gardens is talk about three areas related to our foods, and that's, you know, economy, health, and environment. And starting out with economy, you know, Illinois spends annually $48 billion on food, and the majority of that, it's in the upper 90%, comes from outside Illinois. And on average, our food travels 1,500 miles before it arrives to our grocery stores where we purchase it. And so local foods that's grown locally and distributed locally, obviously, you know, it can generate a lot of revenue for Illinois. And as we all know with the current economy in Illinois, that's something that even Governor Quinn right now is very interested in promoting and pushing. And we actually had a lot of success this General Assembly in passing legislation that promoted local foods. Also, local foods, when I'm working with the congregation, and typically, again, this is in the context of starting a community garden and getting very practical experience, getting hands dirty and seeing where our food comes from and the work it takes to grow a tomato. We'll also talk about health and how typically local foods that haven't traveled as far and they have gone through less processing because they're fresh and they're local, which means there's less carbohydrates, less sugar, less fat, less preservatives. And so people that are health conscious are very much proponents of local foods movement and organizations right here in Champaign-Urbana, like the Champaign-Urbana fitness group that meets and things like that. But then environmentally, local foods, because of all that decreased travel that the food goes through, obviously there's less fossil fuels burned and less carbon emissions because the local food didn't travel as far. So there's some very compelling reasons why to turn towards a local food economy or to even bring that to a little bit higher percentage of our agriculture. I think a study actually done by the Lumpkin, funded by the Lumpkin Foundation called the Fresh Taste Initiative Study, outlines that by simply moving, I think it's 0.03% of our agricultural land to local foods, we can provide something to the effect of enough local foods for 50% of Illinois' population. So by default, 0.06% of our land going to local foods would also push that as well. So local foods is something that, again, is great for both the economy, the health and environment, and something we work on an educational level with the congregations.
We have another call from Chicago area, line number 4. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith with Brian Souder.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're giving grants for multi-purpose and ecologically friendly buildings. But it occurs to me that a lot of really ugly old churches are terrible fuel energy users. And I wondered if you'd consider giving grants to tear down ugly, inefficient religious buildings so that we could save the earth that way.
Or perhaps renovate them?
Say it again?
Or perhaps renovate them?
Well, you know, they're ugly to begin with. So why not just tear them down and serve a multi-purpose by getting rid of them?
Sure. That's we have done some work with a Jewish Reconstructionist congregation. They did some remodeling and tearing apart. This was years ago. They did remodeling and some new construction and went about that. We helped them in that process and working with the finances is also pushing them. And they're one of the first religious congregations in Illinois to do the LEED certification process. And, of course, if you tear down a religious building, you have to have designs and plans to put a new one up. So if a congregation did go that route, you know, our architecture competition would, you know, help them with some plans for new ideas after they tear down their building to put back up a building that is ecologically responsible. And there's ways to go about tearing down a building that fit a LEED certification or working with someone like the Illinois Green Business Association could help you go about that in an ecologically responsible way as well. Unfortunately, we don't have grants to help tear down ugly religious buildings. But that's a great thought. So I don't know. Does that help answer your question?
Yeah, but it does seem to me that I hope you're not saying that you could only get some help tearing down an ugly building, an inefficient building, if on the condition that you would build a new one. Why not leave the land vacant and share space? Why make it a condition for using up space when you could share it?
Oh yeah, and I totally agree. And obviously, as a green team within a congregation, would be wrestling very practically with those sorts of issues if they were thinking about something along that lines. So yeah, that's a great thought. I appreciate it.
Good, thanks a lot.
Thank you for the call. Again, the number is 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455. We have about 6 more minutes. We could get in a call or two if people make their questions brief. Happy to have others give us a call in the time that's left with Brian Souder of Faith in Place. Let me give the contact information for him again here in central Illinois. 217-649-1898 is his cell phone number. He encourages you to call if you would like to set up a green team in your congregation, and that includes people of any religious tradition, or you can contact him through brian@faithinplace.org, Brian, B-R-I-A-N, Brian Souder, brian@faithinplace.org is his email. Brian, we talked about agriculture. Tell us a little bit about water issues. Water is so
sure.
Important, particularly in the state of Illinois. Our late beloved Senator Paul Simon has written several books on the water crisis around the world, and it's very important here in central Illinois with the aquifers being depleted. Tell us about that.
Sure. In the eastern portion of it's known as the Mahomet Aquifer. The water table where we get all of our water from is decreasing at an alarming rate every year. And organizations like the Prairie River Network and also People at the university have done extensive studies on the flow issues of the Mahama Aquifer. And in praxis, what it comes down to is that we need to conserve our water and use less water. And so one thing Faith in Place will do with congregations is you know, give them practical tools to help them steward their water use. And interestingly, this is very much an interest among Muslim congregations because of the importance that water plays in the prayers of the Muslim faith, as well as the emphasis on water placed in the Quran and things like that. So how would we do that? Well, we connect not only the congregation to conservation tools for indoors, whether that's aerators or efficient appliances, the use of efficient dishwashers, or even things, implements you can attach to your toilet to reduce the amount of water that's used when you flush, and but also working with them on conserving water as it rains outside by putting in rain barrels to collect the water, the gallons that come flowing off of the religious congregation's roof.
The large roofs.
A very large roof. Yeah. And
a lot of water.
If you look at the statistics, I don't know off the top of my head, but it is a tremendous amount of water that comes flowing off the roofs and typically goes down into the storm drainage system and is just immediately pumped into the rivers and on down the watershed. And one thing, by using a rain barrels, you can collect some of that water and then use that water on your garden outside your congregation or on the plants outside your congregation. And we'll also push considering putting in rain gardens, which are simply spaces that put in native plants that take that water, and it's almost like a small little ephemeral wetland that with some work can look very pretty and also let that water drain back down into the aquifer as well. So water is something that in environmental circles is receiving more and more attention because it's becoming the next big issue and something that I'm very concerned about and many people here in this community are because of the Mahama Aquifer.
Now, your training being in two parts, as an environmental scientist at the University of Illinois, that was your undergraduate degree, and then your theological degree, do you see those as somehow opposed to one another or fitting together?
Sure. Typically, the way I describe this to people when I talk to them is in a very simple way, think if you can picture a triangle, and at one end of the triangle you have science, another end of the triangle you have ethics, and another end of the triangle you have practice. And often what we'll do, and at least in my own background in faith, is we'll move straight from our ethics, our concern for love of our neighbor and things like that, and move right to practice and do things, which is all well and good. But sometimes it can be better informed if we consider some good science that helps us very efficiently love our neighbor as we seek to help the poor or whatever. There's some good ways to go about that, and there's some bad ways to go about that. It's the same when it comes to environmental things. You can have all the love for the earth and the world, but if you don't have a good science informing your actions, even though you have that love, you could still be doing some disastrous things to the earth around you. And so to have that love informed by a good science can help to good sound praxis. So I'm trying to paint a visual of that triangle.
Sure,
I don't know if that works on air. But
that's very helpful. Now tell us about some of the controversies within various religious communities about ecology and about climate change and about whether there is a crisis or not.
Sure.
There's a lot of argument about that, and it's very noisy on the air.
Yeah, there's a particularly with when regards to climate change, there is a lot of argument, and I'm very thankful here at the University of Illinois I'm very close friends, although Donald Wobbles is more of a mentor to me and someone who's worked as a climatologist for years. He has done extensive work in helping both myself and other people in religious congregations understand the difference between climatology that's done by peer-reviewed literature, scientific literature, and climatology that's done by people that are funded by big corporations and oil companies and people with alternative interests. Unfortunately, the media confuses the issue quite a bit and will cover somebody even if they only have, you know, their backgrounds in business and they're saying things about climate change. They'll cover that as well as what the climatologists are saying. But if you look at the peer-reviewed literature, and that's something that as I work with congregations, I try to help them understand literature that's been pored over and scrutinized and things like that. There's a great consensus that the climate is changing, and we have a lot of work to do to curb our emissions to avoid some ecological catastrophes.
And in terms of the ethical training that you've received in your master's degree from Urbana Theological Seminary, was there interest at the seminary in these issues?
Yeah, the seminary was very supportive and have been very supportive in working through this. The president there, Dr. Kenneth Cuffey, has been on board all along and has been very just generous. And they even almost tailored to myself. They offered a course there called Eco Stewardship, where the systematic theology professor, Dr. Todd Daly, explored this issue as well, and relied heavily on his PhD advisor at Edinburgh, Michael Northcott, which has written extensively on the Christian and environmental ethics as well. So
we're down to our last 30 seconds. For any last words you have about Faith in Place in Central Illinois?
Well, I'm really excited to be working for Faith in Place and to be serving religious congregations, and feel very honored to be doing such, and would love to hear from some people that are interested in working with me.
And again, to do that, Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at faithinplace.org, email, phone number 217-649-1898. To be in touch with Brian Sauder, S-A-U-D-E-R, the Central Illinois Congregational Outreach and Policy Coordinator for Faith in Place, which is concerned with people from many different faiths caring for our natural world. My name is Steve Shoemaker, usual host for Keeping the Faith. Let me say a last word about the University YMCA Dump and Run collections that start tomorrow, Monday, May 10, from 9 to 4 at the Stock Pavilion at the University of Illinois, 1402 West Pennsylvania Avenue, Urbana. That's just east of Memorial Stadium on Pennsylvania Avenue. There's plenty of room to pull right your vehicle right into the Stock Pavilion and unload it. There'll be volunteers there to help you. And that's Monday through Saturday, May 10 to May 15. And then Monday through Friday, May 17 to 21st, 9 to 4. And Monday through Friday, May 24 to 28. Plus Thursday nights, May 13, 20, and 27 till 7 p.m. to take all manner of household goods to the University YMCA Big Dump and Run sale. Furniture, clothing, books, records, TVs, electronic equipment. If you have questions, call the Y at 337-1500. Coming up on Keeping the Faith next week, we'll be talking with the representatives of the Soul Miners Children's Theater Company of Champaign-Urbana. That's an interfaith group headed up by Helen Katz and Heidi Baker. The following week will be an archive program, Jack Good talking about his most recent book, Emotions and Values. Leah Roberts Mosser, pastor of Community United Church of Christ, will be our guest on May 30, and then Pulitzer Prize finalist Lucia Perillo, poet, will be our guest May 6. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Hi. Check in on To the Best of Our Knowledge each week. Science and Religion. Rethinking Animal Intelligence, Maybe How Memory Works. Fascinating discussion on To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday evening from 7 to 9 on AM 580.
I'm University of Illinois Extension,
Department of Kinesiology and Community Health.
I'm United Way.
Christie Clinic.
Department of Communication, University of Illinois.
Family Resiliency Center.
I'm Unit 4.
The Urbana Free Library.
And I'm Molly Delaney of Illinois Public Media, and together we're CU Fit Families.
Join us and many other organizations in fighting childhood obesity. Call 217-333-7300 or email delaney1@illinois.edu.
This is WILL AM 580 and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana.